Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, sir. Glad to be here.
Hey, good morning. Now, I guess you were on the line yesterday where the Department of Emergency Management and DEP here in Florida were petitioning the feds to get that waiver to sell the winter blend. Is that right?
That is correct. They was trying to get that done yesterday. As I told them, they hadn't followed up with me, so apparently they got it done. But they was trying to find any way to resolve this and get the gas flowing pretty quickly in our area.
Yeah, I'm looking at the waiver that the EPA issued. I don't have a date time on it, but it looks like it was yesterday afternoon or evening sometime. And it includes Escambia County. By the way, it's not all of Florida. It's only the Panhandle, Walton, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Escambia. I guess the rest of the state. I'm glad we got lumped in with it.
I'm glad we did too.
And frankly, they did it because of the Colonial Pipeline hack. Frankly, I think we got lucky, because we're not related. We're not related to the Colonial hack, but we had our own issues, and somehow we just kind of got lucky that we got lumped in with it after the unlucky day or two that we had. So I wanted you to just take a second and maybe explain to people, and we have been all morning, but it's better for them to hear it from you. Why were we having issues since we're not part of the Colonial Pipeline Distribution Network?
So to begin with, first and foremost, we're short drivers. You just can't go out there and have a regular CDL driver go out there and pick up a load of fuel and haul it to the local gas station. You've got to have a special hazmat endorsement, which you have to go through a lot of criteria to get your hazmat endorsement. So we were short drivers. And then our local distributor had problems, with the EPA. Distributing fuel, so they had to go a little further off. And due to the results of short drivers, longer hauls, they couldn't turn a burn like they usually do here locally in the area. And then when the Colonial Pipeline happened, everybody associated that with our gas shortages, and then we had a run on gas. So the culmination of all those three things made the perfect storm, and while we had a 48-hour period where gas was we ran out of gas.
So when you guys in an emergency tell people to simmer down and not put too much demand on a supply chain, there's a reason.
Yes, there is a reason. So, sometimes I can't compete with Facebook. I can only put the message out as many times as
you
can. But Facebook is sometimes our worst enemy. So, if messages get out there and bad messages do, and then people take them for the truth, and that culminates the situation or exacerbates the situation.
Now, when you and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday afternoon, you gave me a piece of the puzzle that I hadn't picked up, but it was obviously true as soon as you said it. The reason the CDL driver shortage is hitting us with the hazmat drivers is because there was a downturn last summer with demand, and so those folks got laid off and found other jobs, and now they're not available for for the surge, right?
That's what we're finding out is right. So because we were on a lot of the states and across America, we were on quarantine and safer at home. People weren't traveling. So the need for fuels was not as high as demand as it has been. So some of the companies had to lay their drivers off because they couldn't support just having somebody on a payroll who wasn't dispensing fuel. So trying to get those guys back with the specialized skill or the years of service it takes to get that hazmat endorsement, they didn't really come back.
One of the questions I asked yesterday of Sheriff Simmons, I asked him, because we didn't know yesterday for sure how long this is going to last, although we all suspect that it would be short-lived. I asked him how we're doing with fuel. You're the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. You're not fleet management per se, but Escambia has to think about emergencies all the time with hurricane season come up. What kind of fuel supply does the county maintain apart from ordinary distribution if something happened and there was no fuel inbound to Pensacola?
So we did have enough supply for 21 to 25 days. And what the county would have done, if we had a continued fuel shortage problem, we would have put those fuel assets for those much-needed services. So fire trucks, ambulances, of course, law enforcement. So we would have actually scaled back some of our operations to conserve the fuel if if we thought we was going to have a problem getting our vendors in here to resupply us.
Makes sense. And, of course, you also, I assume, have to do extra management because it's not all the same kind of fuel. Some are diesel, some are unleaded. You know, you've got those kind of issues to manage as well, I assume. So it's all fun. It's all
That's
putting
right.
a puzzle together at emergency management and DPS. Hey, DPS. Last question I wanted to ask you just yesterday. I guess we had a fire at a church structure, right? Up in Cantonment.
That is correct. Up here in Emsley, just north of Nymar Road, it was a church-owned structure. It was 3,000 square feet, and what they do is they have a food pantry there. Unfortunately, the food pantry was totally destroyed. And they house clothing and other items to donate and give to the community. So one of their back rooms where a lot of the clothing items and everything, you can kind of imagine a hoarder, you know, where everything was stacked up in there. That's where the fire kind of originated from, in that middle back corner of the structure. And they did determine it was caused due to a lightning strike.
There was a lightning strike. Oh, man. Well, that's two here locally, right? We think the lightning strike caused the fire to send last week, and then we had the lightning strike that caused the fire
right.
at the church yesterday. Goodness, wow. Okay. All right, well, very sad news, especially. Glad nobody was hurt, but, right, nobody was hurt, right?
Nobody was hurt. Okay. Thank goodness nobody was hurt. The building was not being occupied at the time. It was just using for their food storage and their clothing and items that they give away.
Well, food and clothing can be replaced, but obviously it's a sad thing to think of all the people who won't get that stuff now, at least in the short run. Eric
right.
Gilmore, he is the interim director of public safety for Escambia County. Eric, thanks so much for the time. I know you're always super busy, so I appreciate you giving us a couple minutes this morning. And thank you, as always, for keeping us safe in these always different and challenging circumstances.
It's an interesting day. Every day is a new day in Escambia County. You just don't know what you're going to face. So thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the time.